Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, thank you so much for putting this on. I have a little green dot. It's my first OA convention. I've been in other fellowship conventions, and I'm really pleased to be here to connect with my fellows. And for me, as you heard, it's a very long journey. And I have been abstinent for all those years, but as many people will know here, abstinence changes in terms of food plans and whatever. Because this illness morphs, I love that word. I started off as a bulimic, that went, so I thought, great, I'm cured. Whoops, no. Up popped, overeating, undereating, restricting. I just could not hold a weight and lead a normal life. You know, my whole life revolved around what the scales taught me. So I threw those out in the 80s, thank God. And I'll just quickly say how I stay well today, only a day at a time. Doesn't matter how many years I've been in, it's only today. I don't weigh myself. I asked a lovely NHS dietitian to do it for me. And I see her when it's available for a face-to-face. She doesn't tell me what I weigh. I just say, up or down. And the last time she said up, and I went, just for a second. And she was pleased. But I can say today, for whatever reason, being a woman, life, I've lost a bit. And I have upped my own food plan, and I see her next week. Now that is a miracle. And I have to say it's a miracle I'm alive. People that came in with me into hospital, because in the 70s that was the only place to go to if you were, quote, clinically depressed. That was my diagnosis. I thank God it was before the days of all the terminology today, bipolar, personality disorders, because I probably fit with every single category in the personality disorder. But I know I'm not organically mad. I just have mad behaviours with food. You know, I was eating out of dustbins because I'd put food there to stop eating too much and then retrieved it later on. I got addicted to laxatives when they stopped working, starving, binging. I came up with the great idea that I could keep from binging if I kept away from people. Good solution. Of course, I ended up isolated and very lonely. I managed to get good jobs because, like most of us, we're actually quite good at doing stuff like that. And I was a high earner, so I had the money to fly. And I used to use aeroplanes like buses. As a solution. And to cut a very long story short, I ended up in India doing the whole sannyasi thing. Amazingly, they refused me, said, I need to go back and do something else. Luckily, that lot in India it was very corrupt. And I flew home after, and this is the truth, if anyone knows Indian toilets in public places, they're holes, yeah? I had 1 foot down this hole, to imagine what was in it, and I screamed out, God help me. I flew home, and there was one OA meeting in London that I spotted a number in a psychiatric hospital. So anyone doing PI, it works. And I went to it. However, and this is the truth, after I left that meeting, because I couldn't identify with what I was hearing, because I was dying. My suicide attempt happened after this OA meeting. Because I was listening to people that, it was a bit like Weight Watchers. And I know now I was suffering from spiritual bankruptcy. You know, I wasn't functioning, I wasn't washing, I'd set fire to my flat, you know, that I owned in a very posh part of London. But it all stemmed from growing up feeling A, I didn't belong to my family. And when I lost weight, because my weight was, you know, right the way up and right the way down, the yo-yo, horrible. You know, I wanted to cut my thighs off at one time, and it was just gross. And it was the 60s, we had Twiggy, who no one actually realised she was naturally like that. But when I lost weight through various unhealthy ways, people noticed me. Ah, I thought that's enough. I'm loved, I'm accepted. And it was purely then I was driven to keeping my outsides looking a certain way. But I didn't have any tools to know how to communicate, how to belong anywhere, how to, you know, I could work where I had a role. That was easy. But that wasn't Barbara. And, you know, my first introduction to step four, oh God, the moral searching. Oh God, that's not like street cred there. You know, moral. I'm not going to be a saint. But actually, it's the best step in the world. It leads to the action. It's the last bit where you do writing. I did mine by columns, and I kept it very simple. Because it came to about three defects, that was about it. Self-pity, you know, victim mode, self-centeredness. My sponsor stopped me after four things on this list, and I've heard people go on and on and on. But actually, you know, if I want to stay in the SHIT, stay in step four, shift it. And the big book, which brought me in, you know, there's a reason why step six and seven are very tiny. Because you go straight through. And step four I did in about 2 weeks. I've done it a few times because, like many of us, you know, some of us change sponsors because we either outgrow or they're different or, you know, lots of reasons. So I've done a few because each sponsor wanted me to start at step one again. I went, but deeper and deeper, and doing step four fast, but it has to be deep, really deep. And I was willing because time was ticking, you know. I was told I wouldn't live beyond age 26, and I became a state pensioner in January. I'm still not sure whether I really like that, but okay, but it is a miracle, and it's thanks to doing the steps means I stay abstinent. If I'm abstinent, I have to work the steps. It is that paradox all the time. And also admitting I'm powerless gives me the power to live a fantastic life. I just eat three meals a day, nothing in between, because I don't want to think about food after I've had my meal. It's medicine, like a diabetic, but paradox, I enjoy what I eat. And I keep it ever so simple. I don't faff around. And if I start to, I know, whoops, something emotional is going on here. Is this emotional wanting to eat or is it hunger? I'm working it out. And I actually told my dietitian my food plan. And it was during lockdown when I got hold of a nice lady and they were doing home visits. And I never had a dietitian look in my fridge. It's quite extraordinary. And I introduced her to the 12 steps. You know, I think she's still a bit uncertain why, because she thinks I should be cured because I'm no longer practicing. And yeah, we have to live with that. I'm also grateful to other fellowships because, you know, it's holistic, my recovery. It's all, but, you know, the defects that came up from the columns. And what I have to say is, number one, powerless over my body and food and my behaviours. That my life unmanageable, I had to really work at that with someone, or they worked with me, who ended up saying, well, you ended up in a lock-up ward in a psychiatric unit. Do you really think your life was manageable? Do you really think you weren't insane? Oh, yeah, okay, I get it. But it kept me alive to keep going into hospital. I learned the Mental Health Act, and I knew how they'd have to keep me. And I knew I'd have three meals a day, and I could morph into what I wanted to be and come back out. And I tell you, I didn't keep the photos, but I became everything from a skinhead to David Bowie to a yuppie, and the India hippie. You know, I was just totally a chameleon. Terrible. Thank you. 5 minutes. Yeah. So, you know, and today I'm more and more myself. I go to art college. When I was 18, my parents said, no, they're all drug addicts and alcoholics that go there. So I went off to an all-girls school, which, you know, if you want an eating disorder, then. but today, you know, just 3 meals a day, it's so simple. It's so simple to live. But as it was pointed out to me, you know, it's a simple program for people like me who make everything complicated, given half a chance. And, you know, I go to meetings. I came in before the internet, so phoning people, I love, you know. We had to go to call boxes. Can you believe it? But I know the sad side is many women that I knew, and there were no men around in those days, they're dead. You know, they died of anorexia, suicide. So I'm very grateful. But as the big book says, we're not a glum lot. Not at all. I have fun today because I know that's all I've got. And actually sometimes it's an hour at a time. And yes, I've been through a difficult week. I've been crying a lot. And my sponsor has been fantastic because I've had validation. It's grief. Because I worked, you know, I became in the caring professions. I'm a therapist now. So I wasn't looking at me in a depth I should have done, because I was told every time I was miserable, you know, or call me, biggest defect that is of mine. Ring someone, listen to someone. I was very good at that, but it meant I didn't look at myself for a long time. And when I was younger, you know, the solution was antidepressants, sleeping pills, you know, all that lot, which in those days, some of them became class A's actually, benzos. So I have to say, even though I'm the age I am, I'm maybe way behind some people that have just been in fellowship for a few months, because my rock bottom, and when I came in, was just, I was just lucky to come in. Mm. Just lucky. And I don't often say that. But in lockdown, I've had a good look at behaviours. It's not just the eating, it's unhealthy behaviours like shopping and you name it. You know, it's like that child's name, a game where you put something down and something else comes up. And it's like, oh God, here we go again. But it's a reminder, a day at a time, I will always have this illness. I thought when I came in I'd do 1 to 12 like an exam and then go back out again to the life I had. And I will end here because one college course I did, and it was a college, taught me how to put on an offer fur coat and a low slung sports car. Now that's the depth of the crazy stuff I thought would cure me. How I looked and who I'd attract, and of course the man of my dreams. But you know, the relationships I had at my sex industry was quite interesting. Was basically, you know, an emotional woman, thank you, of two going out with a man of 30. I mean, that was really, yeah. But on the outside, of course, I looked differently. But just to end, and you know, I don't usually make notes, but it's basically, who am I resenting or hurt by? What effect does it have on me? What defects pop up? And what's the correction? And I'll just give a very simple one. I've got three very much older sisters who never call me, who just don't like me, and I'm working on it still. And I made that as resentful. Why don't they phone me? Am I supposed to scrunch it up? Do you phone them?
Mm.
Oh no, because they should phone. Yeah. And with that step four, I couldn't do my step tens on a daily basis. And I always start the day with the step for set. Sorry, I have dentures. This is why age has caught up with this one bit. The set aside prayer. I love it. I do that on a daily basis because I need to step aside what I think about my recovery and everyone else in the world, because I think the world should go according to Barbara's script. Thank you.
Thank you so much.